The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Thank you guys for sitting in the front row. I actually didn't think you would do it. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you. We are debtors to your mercy. We thank you that it is of covenant mercy we sing. And Father, we pray that as we spend some time thinking about things that are important to these young people, that you would give us all ears to hear. We pray that you would open our hearts, and we pray especially, Lord, for our graduates. We thank you for them, and we pray that you would minister to them today. We pray that today would be a blessing for them, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I always enjoy the way that we honor our graduates. And I was thinking about how this got started, and I think it got started, obviously, many, many years ago, but almost accidentally, I think. Somebody brought a cake, and we had them stand up, and I just started saying a few words about each of them, meaningful words of keen insight. And it just sort of turned into a wonderful tradition. And this is clearly a big class this year. We have 12, although Andrew Eschen is not here, but Andrew will not be left out. Believe me, I have plans for Andrew. Now, we're going to have our little ceremony afterwards, and we're going to have cake, and we'll say nice things about you guys and all of that. But what I wanted to do, since I had the opportunity to preach this afternoon, is that I wanted to bring a message to you, because this is a crucial point in your lives. It really is. You are about to enter into a new chapter of life, which will be the biggest change in your life to this point. And so, even though you haven't experienced much of life, what you have experienced pales in comparison to the changes that you're about to face. And so I wanted to bring some truths to you that I think are important. And so take this as your graduation present from me. Honey, you don't need to give them cards with the money, because this is their present. Okay? The first thing that comes to my mind as I think about you guys, and you guys span anywhere from 16 to 18 years old, right? One of the crucial things for you is that you need to recognize the unique and the challenging times that you're living in, all right? You guys are living in a time where social norms and values have gone crazy. Issues regarding sex and gender and race and technology and media have changed so much, even just within the last few years. You have become adults in one of the most tumultuous times that any of us can remember. And there is of course, so much to say about some of these changes, and we've addressed them from time to time. But let me just tell you that if you go off to university, all right, you're going to be continually exposed to people who hate Christianity. You're going to be continually exposed to people who hate Western civilization. You're going to be exposed to people who hate the police and who hate anyone or anything that's in power. You're going to hear, if you go off to university, and by the way, Christian university is not necessarily exempt from this. Okay? You're going to hear that there are two groups of people in the world. There's the oppressed and there are the oppressors. And you're going to hear things like the greatest evil is to impose your values or your views on other people. And then you're going to hear that the greatest virtue is to actually liberate people from the values and the views of Christianity. If you try to make an objection, you will be immediately dismissed or immediately shut down as a person of privilege. Because you've never been oppressed, you'll have no voice in the matter. This is the world that you've grown up into. And the spirit of the age has really reached a fever pitch in its hatred of God. And again, this is your world. This is your world. This is a divided nation, and the divide is as deep as ever, and there is a war of worldviews and a war of values, and you are coming of age in an incredibly challenging time. And here's the thing, is that you've spent the last 18 years or so of your life becoming the person that you'll be. Have you ever thought about that? These 16 to 18 years that you've lived so far, you are in the process of becoming somebody. You're now at the stage in life where the person you have been becoming for all of these years is now the person that you are about to be. And so you need to take honest inventory and self-evaluation. Where am I? What are my values? Where are my convictions? Am I actually ready to face the challenges of this world as an adult, as a Christian adult? Or am I going to be just carried away by the current of culture? Am I going to be carried away by whatever the next smart professor tells me? The question is since you are becoming adults in such a tumultuous time, the question is are you going to stand strong like Daniel did in Babylon, or are you going to just be carried away by the current? And so the first thing is just to realize that you are facing unique and challenging times. All of you. The second thing that I would tell you today is make sure that you're truly in Christ and that you possess saving faith. Okay? Some of you have professed faith since you were little. Others of you have never professed faith. Here's the truth, is that every one of you, you've been raised in a Christian home. you've attended a Christian church. Some of you went to Christian school. Some of you were homeschooled. But the fact is that you've all heard the gospel and you've all heard it repeatedly. And so as you stand on the brink of a brand new chapter in life, the question that has to be pressed on you is how is your soul? Okay. Do you really have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you really know Him? I'm not asking you if when you were six, if you prayed a prayer with your mom. I'm asking you, do you really know Christ as the resurrected, risen Lord? Do you love Him? Can you say, as an 18-year-old person, for me to live is Christ? You are at a point in your life where you cannot rest on your mom or your dad's faith. It's time for the faith to be your faith and for Christ to be yours. God has no grandchildren. You either know Him directly or you don't know Him at all. And so the question is do you actually have the full assurance that you have been born again? This is eternal life, says Jesus, to know You, the living and true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. God has, through your parents and through your church and through Sunday school teachers and your regular teachers, have poured into your life love and grace and mercy over and over and over again. And here's the truth. Everybody behind you will tell you exactly this very same thing. You have no way to appreciate what the people in your life have poured into your life. There's no way for you to fully appreciate that. You'll appreciate it one day when you're older. You'll appreciate it one day when you actually have children of your own and you're able to look back and you're able to say, wow, my mom and dad really did love me. They really did just pour themselves out for me, because you're going to be finding yourself doing the same thing. But at this stage, you don't have the orientation to know that. But what you can know is you can know God. And you can know God personally. In fact, it's knowing God personally that is really your only hope to stand strong in a world that's going to be absolutely against you. Okay? The Bible tells us, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, 11:32, those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And so make sure that you truly are in Christ, that you really have saving faith. The third thing that I would say to you today is this: be committed to the Lordship of Jesus over all of your life. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Okay. And here's the thing that we all have to remember is that times change, culture changes, social norms change, what's acceptable for society changes, but God's word never changes. Okay. It never changes. What God says about sex is the very same thing He said about sex for 2,000 years, 4,000 years. That doesn't change. And so it is absolutely, and here's one of the things we need to come to grips with, is that young people can be just as much a hypocrite as an old person. Okay? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say that you love Christ and then yet you do whatever you want to do. You have to be committed to the Lordship of Jesus over all of your life. That means over who you date or who you court. It means how you conduct yourself under certain circumstances. It means what comes out of your mouth. A believer in Jesus is a follower of Jesus, and Jesus needs to be Lord of absolutely every area of life. He is to be master. He is to be king. And so, young person, I tell you, don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you're a Christian when, in fact, you refuse to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Be committed to the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. Number four, develop a deep biblical worldview. Make sure that the Word of God is your constant companion. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. And so the word of God needs to be your constant companion. Okay? Now some of you were raised being taught to read the Bible, right? And in fact, some of you were homeschooled and reading the Bible was the first thing that you did every morning. And those are wonderful and good habits. And so reading the Bible is so important. But guess what? You're coming to a point, and maybe you're already there, where reading the Bible is going to totally depend on whether you want to read the Bible. Okay? And here is something that you can take to the bank. And that is, if you give up reading the Bible and the Bible is not your companion, you will not be walking with God. Okay? You cannot be a wordless Christian. You have to be one who's feeding on the Word of God. And so you make the Word of God your constant companion. You're reading it. It is a light to your path and a lamp to your feet. It is the most important book. If there was a fire in your dorm room, the very first thing you should get is most definitely not your algebra book or your geometry book or your calculus book. Let them burn. Get your Bible. But we're not talking about just doing your devotions. We're talking about reading the Bible in a way that you understand worldview issues, that you understand that there is a biblical way to look at the world and there is an unbelieving way to look at the world. One of the things that young people just simply don't give enough attention to, and why so many young Christian kids leave the home, go off to college, and lose their faith, is because they've never been taught to think in terms of worldviews. And they don't actually know how to identify faulty thinking. They don't know how to identify erroneous worldviews. And some guy that stands up behind the lectern, and he looks smart, and he sounds smart, and he's saying things that are absolutely contrary to everything that you've ever been taught. And you can't see that there are materialistic or naturalistic underpinnings that are his presuppositions of why he's saying what he's saying. And all of a sudden, the stuff that he says sounds compelling because you haven't built a biblical worldview. Learn to think in terms of worldview. Parents, teach your kids biblical worldview. Teach them to think. Flannel graph Christianity will not hold up under the scrutiny of a university professor. Veggie Tales won't cut it. Okay. Go into class, go into the next stage of your life as a Bible-based critical observer of both the culture and the classroom. I had a philosophy professor at American River College. That wasn't the best before I went to Biola. This guy hated me. You know why? Because I challenged absolutely everything that he said. Now, I got a C in that class. I'm just going to tell you that there may be times where you know, it doesn't go your way. But when God is blasphemed, when the faith is challenged, be courageous enough to say something. Even if you think the guy can wipe up the floor with you and with his arguments, say something. Be bold for the sake of Christ, right? To the law and to the testimony, if they don't speak according to these, it's because there's no light in them. Okay? Know what it is to be renewed in your mind by the Word of God so that you can test and approve what the will of God is. Number five. Become a faithful church member in your own right. So one of the tendencies for young people is to stop going to church. And there are a lot of reasons why young people stop going to church. But I would remind you that church is absolutely vital to the maintenance of your faith. Okay? So whether you're staying here or you're going away somewhere, make sure that you get plugged into a church. Make sure that you're involved in a church. Some of you are wonderfully involved here. Others of you need to become more involved here. Others of you are going to be moving, and you need to be involved where you're going. Why? Because the simple fact is that if you don't get into a church, you will be more likely to lose your faith than if you are in a church. That's just a simple fact, right? So if you're preparing to go off to college or to stay home, you get plugged in. You get plugged in as soon as possible, and you learn to accept the responsibilities of an adult, receive ministry, serve, and actually build a network of Christian friends so that you're able to encourage one another day after day as long as it's called today. You're going to be challenged to have an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. You're going to be bombarded to have a heart that falls away from God. And it will be actually a network of Christian friends and under the ministry of the Word and a Bible-believing church that can help preserve your faith. And finally, I would say this, serve the purpose of God in your generation. Serve the purpose of God in your generation. So the Apostle Paul's preaching in the book of Acts, chapter 13. He's in the synagogue of Pisidian Antioch, and he's preaching Christ, but he makes this little comment. It's almost a side comment in Acts 13:36. He says, "And David, after having served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep." Okay? This is just wonderful little sidelight of it's not germane to Paul's argument in the passage, other than to say that David was temporary. But I love that passage. David, after having served the purpose of God in his generation, died. Okay? So here's the reality. No 18-year-old likes to hear this, but the fact is that life is a vapor. Okay? And you hear this, you hear it from your mom and dad, you hear it from your pastors, you hear it all the time, and that is that life is really short. And There's a special irony, actually, of standing here for me talking to you, and here's the special irony. It doesn't seem that long ago to me that I was in your place. I actually remember being 18 years old. Now, some of you out there can't, but if you could, it would seem like yesterday. But life goes by so fast. And you probably think, well, that's what old people say. Okay. Well, it is what old people say. You know why? Because they realize life goes by so fast. Okay. And so here's the amazing thing. Some of you are going to go off to college, and you're going to go to college for 4 years, and you're thinking, 4 years, wow, 4 years is a long time. I promise you that these next 4 years will go by twice as fast as the previous 4 years. Okay? They will. They will go by so fast, and then you'll be in a new chapter of life. But see, when you're young, all the new chapters are all new and exciting, and you don't really contemplate how fast the chapter was that went before until you start getting older and realizing that that what used to be 10 and 12 page chapters are now half page chapters. That's how fast life starts to go by. And so that's why it's actually so vitally important for you to have an understanding of the purpose of God in your life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's just one life. That's all God gave you. And it's going to go by really fast, no matter how you use it. You can be a total idiot and blow it, and it will go by fast, or you can be incredibly wise, and it will still go by fast. But at the end of the day, guess what one you wish you would have been? And so be committed to serving the purpose of God no matter where you are, whether it's in college or whether it's working a trade or whether it's entering the mission field or the ministry or motherhood. I don't usually say this very often to our young people because I don't want them to feel unduly pressured, but consider vocational ministry. Consider serving Christ on the mission field. Consider doing something that's bigger than yourself. Consider doing something for the sake of Christ and for the glory of Christ that goes way beyond your own little me-centered universe. Serve God in your generation. Serve God's purpose, not your own. Charles Spurgeon, you may have heard of him, says that man serves his generation best who is not caught by every new current of opinion, but stands firmly by the truth of God, which is a solid, immovable rock. Seek the purpose of God in your life. Do you have a sense of what God has called you to do? Do you have a sense of how God has wired you, how He has gifted you? Have you put that into perspective of what it means to actually serve God and not myself? There is such a thing as calling, and all of us have a calling, all of us have a vocation. And some of those vocations are going to be very ordinary. Changing diapers, or maybe doing calculus, or something in between. But the fact is that God has a calling on your life, and you have to be concerned about it. You have to be dialed into it. You have to consider that what He calls you to do is more important than what you just want to do. Blessed is the man that God calls to do what he wants to do. But don't let anybody derail you. If you know what God has called you to do, and you know that God has wired you a certain way to serve a certain purpose, don't get derailed. Don't get derailed by well-meaning parents. Don't get derailed by an ill-meaning world. Serve God in your generation. You are all young adults, and you're all at a crossroads. And some of you have hearts that are wonderfully tender towards the Lord, and you love the Lord. And it is my prayer that love would grow, that love would deepen, that you would desire to serve Him with your whole heart, with your whole life. There are others of you, and you're not there. You're not there. And I pray that God brings you there. Because you're about to enter into a chapter of your life that's going to be definitive. So are you going to live the kind of life that's driven by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life? Are you going to end up being another casualty of the spirit of the age? Or are you going to be strong and steadfast, abounding in the grace and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay. Today's an important day. This is an important period in your life. And so give heed to what God is calling you to do. Maybe God is just simply calling you to submit and to draw near to Him. Others of you, you know that He's at work in you in a special way. Pursue that with all of your heart. Don't look to the left or the right. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Isaiah and Caitlin. I thank You for Chris and Lydia and Audrey and Colin. Father, I thank You for Micah and Hannah and Amy Anna and Leandra and Katie Ruth. Thank You for Andrew Eschen. Father, they have been the recipients of love and care from their parents and their family and those around them, and now they're about to enter into adulthood. And Father, we pray. We pray that You would make each one of them Your own. We pray that You would use each one of them for Your glory. We pray that You would give them an insatiable appetite for Your word. We pray, Father, that You'd help them to be sharp thinkers, that You'd make them biblically observant, And most of all, Father, we pray that you would give them large, large hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we commit them to you and to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among the saints. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.